You'd better watch out. You need to pay attention. Seek me, God says, and you shall live. Those are the three major lessons from the book of Amos. And we're going to be sort of focusing this morning on Amos chapter 5. So before we go any further with the PowerPoint, just take a look at those three items once again, okay? Amos says, you better watch out. He says that you need to pay attention. And he says that God says, you'll notice it's in quotation marks, seek me and you shall live. So please open your Bibles to Amos chapter 5. We're not going to read all of the verses in Amos chapter 5. We're just going to read some selected ones, and then we'll continue on with our PowerPoint. Amos chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Hear this word, which, by the way, I'm using the New King James. Hear this word which I take up against you, this lamentation, O house of Israel. The virgin of Israel has fallen. She will rise no more. She lies forsaken on her land. There is no one to raise her up. Thus says the Lord God. Down to verse 4. For thus says the Lord to the house of Israel, seek me and live. Verse 6. Seek the Lord and live. Verse 8. This Lord, he made the Pleiades and Orion. He turns the shadow of death into morning. He makes the day dark as night. He calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. Did you notice that? He calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out on the face of the earth. The weather cycle, here it is in the book of Amos, and it wasn't discovered by scientists till a couple hundred years ago. Interesting. Verse 12. For I know your manifold transgressions and your mighty sins. Verse 14. Seek good and not evil, that you may live. So the Lord God of hosts will be with you. As you have spoken, hate evil, love good, establish justice in the gates. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. Therefore, the Lord God of hosts, the Lord, notice the first Lord there is in capital letters and the second one is in lowercase. Therefore, the Lord God of hosts, the Lord, says this. What does he say? Verse 24. But let justice run down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream. Verse 27, last part of it, says the Lord, whose name is the God of hosts. Let's see if this works. Look at that. Okay. So first of all, we're going to look at who is this messenger, this Amos character. All right, well, the first thing we find out about him is that his name means burden bearer or messenger. And God chose this man to be a messenger to his nation Israel. Now, when Amos was chosen to be a prophet of God, he was a herdsman and a caretaker of sycamore fig trees. Okay? A herdsman and a fruit picker. That's what he was. Read about that in chapter 7, verse 14. And we find out that even though he was a common, ordinary, everyday working man, he was well informed in the history of his nation and in its current problems. You see that throughout the book. And it's very interesting that unlike like Elijah and Elisha, Amos's name is not affiliated with any other prophets. The only mention of his name is in his own book. So he wasn't world famous. He wasn't out there on Fox News. Just a common, ordinary, everyday, working man. But he was totally in touch with God. God knew when he chose this man that he had chosen the right one. So, what would these facts about Amos suggest to you and me about whom God might choose to be his servant and do his work? You thought I was going to tell you, right? No, no, no. You think about that. You think about that. Could you be an Amos? Okay? No, I don't know. Is that large enough so you can read it? Hopefully it is. Okay. All right, so that's who the messenger is. Now, who was it that chose Amos, and whose message was it? Okay? Now, it's very interesting. When you go through the book of Amos, you find that this one who gave Amos the message is called by a number of different names. First of all, he's Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That means Lord, Jehovah. Jehovah. Jehovah was the self-existent one. He is who he is. The eternal I am. Remember back in Exodus chapter 3 when God appeared to Moses in the burning bush and Moses wanted to know who he was. He said, I am who I am. You tell those Egyptians that I am sent you. He's the eternal I am. Jesus in John chapter 8:58. Right? What did he say about himself? He said, I am. He called himself I am. So Jehovah has this special relationship with mankind. It's the Lord who created mankind in the first place and has moral authority over him, and he's the governor of his earthly relationships. He has this covenant relationship with Israel. That's Jehovah. Okay? Now, let's see, who else is he? Well, he's God. The Hebrew word El, or Elohim, okay, which is the plural of El, God. Most often in the Bible, the word God is a translation of Elohim, a plurality. And we have that suggested by the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You know, it's very interesting. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, what do we read? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But there's something very interesting in the Hebrew. The word God is Elohim, plural form. The verb created is singular. Now that's not right grammatically, unless you're talking about Elohim. Three in one. The Trinity created the heavens and the earth. Isn't that interesting? Elohim. Let's see what comes next. Oh, here's Lord again. But this time, it's not all capital letters, just the first one. Well, this is a translation of the word Adonai. Now, Adonai means master or owner or boss. This God is the master and the owner and the boss of everything. He has the right to our obedience. And he has the responsibility to guide us and to direct us. The Lord. Okay? Oh my goodness. Let's put this all together here. We have Lord God, Adonai Elohim, the God of hosts, Sabaoth. Adonai Elohim Sabaoth. See, all of these names for God are found in the book of Amos. So he's the God of hosts in warfare and in service. He's the God of all of the heavenly bodies. Whether you're talking about created heavenly bodies such as the stars and the galaxies and the novas and all that sort of thing, he's the Lord of that. Whether you're talking about the angelic host, he's the Lord of them. Whether you're talking about believers, saints, if you're here this morning and you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, he is your Lord. He is the God of hosts. And if you're here this morning and you have not yet received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, he's your Lord too. The host of sinners. He's the Lord of the host of insects, of birds, of animals. Any kind of a host that you can think of. He's God, Lord of that host. The Lord, okay? The God of hosts. The Lord. Here we have both Lord capitalized and Lord in the lowercase letters. Jehovah El Sabaoth Adonai. You put all of those names together and it speaks of coming judgment upon the world. And notice it's The Lord your God is another one. The Lord your God, Jehovah your Elohim. It makes this God who is sending this message personal. He is a God with whom you and I will have to deal personally. That's the person who is sending this message through Amos to the nation of Israel. Now, you say, well, all right, so it's to the nation of Israel. So who are the recipients of this message? Well, it's interesting. As we read through the book of Amos and we find out what the Lord has to say to the nation of Israel, oh my goodness, what he's telling them about them is what he's telling us about us. The similarities between the nation of Israel in Amos's day and the United States of America in your day and my day are just amazing. Look, starting out with oppression of the poor and needy. Find that in chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. The poor and needy were being oppressed in Israel. They weren't being treated fairly. And we find that true in our country as well. There are millions of poor people that do not have enough to live on and who are being treated unfairly. And then another thing that this messenger God has to say to Israel through Amos is that they were perverting justice and goodness. Bribery. Accepting payment to make favorable decisions. Biblical standards no longer considered necessary in many decisions by the courts of law. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Goodness is defined as relative. No real standards of goodness. Whatever you think is good is good. It was going on then. It's going on now in our country. Violence. You say violence in our country? Well, other than riots and attacks by gangs and things of that sort, just think of the constant publicizing of violence in homes and schools, the popularity of violent movies and videos, even video games. And then deceitfulness and dishonesty. We find it all around us, don't we? Trying to get away with any kind of dishonest behavior that will add to my wealth or position or authority over others. Honesty doesn't really matter as long as I can get away with it, being dishonest. And then moral depravity and self-indulgence. Sexual freedom. rampant prostitution, acceptance of sex outside of marriage, accepting transgenderism, homosexuality, lesbianism, etc. Even unisex bathrooms now coming into colleges and things of that sort. You say, these things were going on in Israel? Yes, they were. Yes, they were. Not maybe in exactly the same details, but the same general attitude. And then we have materialism. Materialism. Hoarding of wealth. Showing off huge mansions. No tithing. Constantly asking for your money. Wanting more than what God has chosen to give us. Dependence on human resources rather than God. We would prefer to depend on our own ideas for education. We would prefer to have science without a God. Our own resources, our own minds, our own intelligences. Our own, leaving God out. Devoting one's life to increasing fame and popularity. Living as though judgment were never coming. Very few standards. No recognition of being answerable to a higher authority. Because don't think there is one. Relativism. I have to tell you an interesting little story. Several months ago, we had a couple who was working with a crew and on a college campus out in Oregon, and they were telling us that they were talking with a college student who believed in relativism. You know, there's no standards. Whatever you feel is right is okay. That's what he was advocating. So there's no such thing as really sin or anything like that. So the wife reached out her hand and took his cell phone out of his pocket and put it in her purse. He said, wait a minute, he said, what are you doing? She said, well, I'm taking your cell phone. And he said, well, you can't do that. That's stealing. And she said, is it? There are no standards. There's nothing wrong. There's no, you know, you don't, no, nothing you have to worry about here. If I want your cell phone, according to the way you're thinking, I can have it. Even relativism doesn't really work. Contempt for God. Just a general contempt for God. Belief in God is unnecessary because he doesn't exist. He doesn't exist. Do you see the parallels? This is the way our nation is going. So the message that the Lord God, the God of hosts, had for Israel is the same message that he has for us today. Well, what was that message? Now, we're not going to read all those verses. But we find out in the book of Amos that at least 45 times. It tells us that the Lord spoke. The Lord, the God of hosts, the Lord has spoken to them over and over and over and over and over and over again. He had spoken to them. It wasn't that he had been silent and he hadn't let them know what they needed to know. It was out there. He had spoken to them. We read several times that he spoke in chapter 5. He had spoken to them. So it wasn't that they didn't have the information that they needed. They had it. And friends, so do we. Right here. God has spoken to us through his word. The question is, are we listening? Are we listening? But you know, our God is an amazing God. Because in spite of the way that the nation of Israel was going as a whole, in spite of the fact that there was no more hope for the nation as a whole, that judgment was coming, we read this. I am even giving you a further chance now, when judgment is inevitable, the opportunity to be saved from that coming judgment is still out there. What an amazing, gracious, merciful, kind, loving God. After all of the rebellion and all of the sin and all of the rejection of him, he says, seek me and you shall live. Verse 4. Seek the Lord and you shall live. Seek him who is the creator and sustainer of all. Verses 8 and 9. Seek good and not evil, that you may live. Verse 14. Hate evil, love good, maintain justice, and there may be mercy. Verse 15. How about you this morning? Have you sought the Lord? I sought the Lord, Psalm 34, and he heard me and delivered me out of all my fears. So God's message to Israel and to us is the same. The mighty sovereign God would judge the nation as a whole for its idolatry and religious hypocrisy, but he offered and offers now life to individuals within the nation who would yet repent and seek him. So the sad situation is this. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. If you think you're good enough so that you can earn your own way to heaven, you deceive yourself. And the truth is not in you. Because this God, this Almighty God, has stated that all have sinned and all fall short of God's standard. No way you're going to get it to heaven, get to where God lives, by yourself. That's the sad situation. We are hopelessly lost if we haven't paid any attention to the saving solution. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. He was buried, and he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. So it's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy, he saves us. Jesus said, I am the way. If he is the way, that means there's no other way. The truth. If he is the truth, then what he says is true. And if anybody contradicts him, they're untrue. The life. It is only in him that we have life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There you go. What do you think of that? So here is the required response. Believe on the Lord, Jehovah, Jesus, Savior, Christ, Anointed One, King, and you will be saved. If we confess our sins, he, that Lord Jesus Christ, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? So that's our part, to believe. Confess, believe. Not work for it. The works come afterward as a result of our appreciation of what he has done for us. We want to serve him gladly, but not in order to be saved. And what are the rewarding results? But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Can you imagine that? Children of that God who we have just looked at. Even to those who believe on his name. Have you believed on his name yet this morning? Do you believe in the one who has all those wonderful names? For God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Our nation may be judged, but there's no condemnation for you if you're in Christ Jesus. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that will not fade away. Amos gave his life. He had been a shepherd. He gave his life to the chief shepherd. And the chief shepherd used him to give this message of judgment on the one hand, but of salvation on the other. Which are you going to be a part of? Now I have 3 minutes left, so I'm going to divert from this for a minute. By the way, that's the last slide from that. Okay? But listen to this. I was just thinking about this morning earlier. There's a verse in John chapter 18, verse 4, that says, Jesus, knowing all things that would happen to him, went forward. That is an absolutely incredible statement. He knew what was going to happen to him, and he still went forward. Listen, there's that verse in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. But listen to this. And the Lord laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. Who's the us? Was it the Israelites? Their iniquity? Yeah. Were they the only ones whose iniquity was laid on Jesus? How about all the Gentiles? Their iniquities laid on Jesus? How about all the people in the world today? Are iniquities laid on Jesus? How about the iniquities of the people in the future until the Lord comes? Were their iniquities laid on Jesus? Only an infinite substitute would be capable of taking upon himself the sins of the whole world, past, present, future. And Jesus, knowing that that is what he was going to be doing, went forward. If you haven't given your life to this Jesus yet this morning, why don't you come forward and say, Lord, forgive me. I want you as my sin bearer, as my Savior. If you'd like to do that this morning, please either come and talk to me or talk to someone here that you know knows the Lord and get it settled, because now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Let's pray. Lord, why in the world you would be willing to give your life for the likes of us, of me? we will never, ever, ever be able to fully understand. But we thank you that you did. And we ask, Lord, that in response to your great love and sacrifice for us, that we might turn our lives over to you and live for you. And we pray this in your precious, most worthy, most awesome name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.